greed is not always good. In a moment. Hurricane season is here. Recently realized it's not just hurricane season that can hurt us. My in-laws had a pipe burst in their home. Our hotel for our wedding weekend had the main pipe burst. Any time of year, things can happen to your home or business. And the insurance company can be your friend, but they also can be your enemy. Horizon Public Adjusters, Justina Testa, are here for you to help this process go so much easier. Before you call the insurance company, call Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa at 954-809-8752. Would you go into court without an attorney? No. So why would you go up against an insurance company without Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa? First of all, they give you a free 11-point inspection, 7 to 10 times more money recovered with a public adjuster than if you went on your own. If there's no recovery, there's no fee. They work for you, not the insurance company. They'll minimize your stress and maximize your claim. Any and all insurance claims, Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa are here for you. Give them a call at 954-809-8752. Why go up against insurance companies alone when you can have Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa on your side?
State of Florida versus Casey Marie Anthony. We, the jury, find the defendant not guilty.
The law, my boy, puts us into everything. It's the ultimate backstage pass.
Fourth person, charging the defendant, Aaron Hernandez. What say you, Madam Fourth person?
Guilty.
Just the facts, ma'am.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth?
Certainly. What have I got to lose?
Don't believe a word he says, Your Honor. He's crazy.
Greed is good. This is a line most of us know from the original Wall Street. And I guess in a sense, greed can be good because greed is a motivation. However, by definition, greed ain't good. And when it comes to sports, especially college athletics, greed usually screws the player and the fan. College football, once again, seems to be on that path. For years, there was no playoff, and it seemed like the third, the fourth, fifth best team in the country got sort of worked. Well, they started the playoff a few years ago, and it's been a boom. It's been great for ratings. It's been great for interest, but it's felt like we're leaving out two to three teams that possibly could be in the mix for a title. So many of us felt eight teams would be perfect. So what did the college football executives and bigwigs think? Let's skip eight and go to 12. Now, the idea that the Coastal Carolinas and BYUs and UCFs could have a legit shot, I'd like to see them be in the mix for a playoff spot. First off, I don't know if that's true. Along with the greed is good line, usually the SEC, Big 10, even Big 12, find ways to get more of their teams in. So just because it's 12 doesn't necessarily mean a UCF or a Boise State is going to get a legit shot. You may get a 2 or 3 loss SEC team taking their spot still. Plus, again, as we've seen, greed ain't good. When you put too many teams together, it doesn't stop. It went from 4, skipped to 12. So when is it 16? When is it 24? How watered down does it get? I think the regular season still matters, and it will matter, but it's watered it down a bit. Look at the NBA regular season. Look at the NHL regular season. Look at the MLB regular season. More doesn't equal more important. It usually equals less important. I think it should go to 8, not 12. But if you're going to 12, keep it there. Luby's Law for today is, again, greed ain't good. College football, 12 teams is way too much. And the idea is once you start, you can't stop. I'm scared that you're going to keep rolling down the hill and the sport I once loved will never be the same. This is Luby's Law.
Lots of laughs, thanks to Defoe and Luby. Now on the Defoe Show.
Missing in action is what Kyrie Irving is going to be tonight, and not because he's having one of his bouts of aloofness and trying to figure out what to do in Israel now that Netanyahu is out.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about that article. Like, is he really misunderstood? I think he's totally understood. I think he has no concept of reality a lot of the time, but like, I don't think he's misunderstood.
No, not at all. And yet, a brilliant basketball player. There's no question.
Yeah, he's talented.
We've seen it at different times. Of course, hit the big shot there for the Cleveland Cavaliers. When teamed up with LeBron and they pulled off this miracle upset, and you thought, wow. I mean, you could understand why he was a little upset that he didn't get any credit there. You know, basketball being a big ego game. But was playing brilliantly for the Brooklyn Nets, and a team with Durant, it was more than enough. Well, when they got James Harden, you thought it might be overkill, formulating another big three. And the Milwaukee Bucks, I thought were going to be a much more formidable foe when the two teams were at full strength. But now seem to be an overwhelming favorite over the Brooklyn Nets. And are people going to be disparaging about Durant? Can he help it? I mean, you can't expect him. Here's Milwaukee. They position themselves to have enough ammunition to go all the way after their failures in the postseason the last couple of years. And they added in Jrue Holiday, who was a terrific addition and would be a nice pairing with the Greek no matter what.
Yep.
And Middleton's playing great, by the way. Yes. Chris Middleton, remember we mentioned he was in the Korver syndrome for me, where I just never saw the guy make a shot?
He's shut me up a lot.
No matter how great of a shooter he was, you'd see the shooting percentages in a paper. He was hitting 50% from three-point range. Never saw him hit anything. Nothing. Every time I turned on the TV, line drive, brick, line drive, brick,
every
line
time,
drive, brick. Out of the corner, Middleton, brick. From the top of the key, Middleton, brick. Yep. Short-range jumper, Middleton, brick. Floater in the lane, Middleton, brick. Layup at the basket, Middleton, brick. That was it. And yet he's been terrific,
yeah.
Absolutely terrific so far in a postseason. So the Milwaukee Bucks now with a big edge over the Brooklyn Nets. Just last week, Luby, I mean, I think it was just last Thursday on the show.
We had Ion on. Or Friday. It might have been Friday. Actually, we had Ion on Friday.
I was on Friday. Yeah, after that Brickfest that Milwaukee won. But prior to Thursday's game, we thought the Bucks were absolutely ready for decimation. And that everybody was going to be gone. The Greek would have been on the trading block. Are you kidding me? So that was quite a turnaround in that series. And it just goes to show you how much luck you need in sports to also end up on top. People were tarnishing LeBron. I'm sure Skip Bayless was all over LeBron James. And there, you see, I told you it was nothing. Eliminated first round of the playoffs. But you cannot venture out there alone. We'll see if Kevin Durant can carry this team to some kind of competitive game against Milwaukee tonight, but you would have to sense. Now, should we just go out there because all logic would dictate that Milwaukee crushes Brooklyn like a grape tonight?
Yes. Oh, and, no. With no Harden or Irving, it's going to be tough.
Should we not unload Moneyline, Brooklyn Nets?
Oh, so go the other way?
The gods
of
gambling.
Spread?
I don't know. I haven't seen
crazy?
Any signs.
Yeah, is the spread even that crazy?
I hate to think that my mother's passing might have been a sign.
Mm.
Yeah. To go the other way on this thing. All right, coming back with more. What do you think, Ma? Coming back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
She was not a big fan of gambling.
No, not at all. She hated that you gambled. To this day, she
Can we give me that look? That was one of the great things. Our conversations. Yeah, that was really the classic when she left me that phone message. And she kind of would feign patheticness. This was kind of her M.O. Would you honor this coupon for an old lady? Meanwhile, she's sharp as a tack, right? I mean, even at 90, she was approaching 98. But when she left me that message and said, Jeff, could you please find time to call me back? My number's 888, admit it. Like, Ma, I mean, it's not that bad yet. When it is, I'll call. All right. We're coming back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
A wonderful lady, though, when celebrating.
And my condolences,
her life would be
we haven't really talked
go,
about it.
Yeah.
We've been just rolling along, but your mom was amazing. Your dad and your mom were my favorite. Whenever I would see the two of them together, they would get on you in a way I've never seen anyone get on you. They were so strong and so fun together, and your mom was a legend. I felt honored, and I felt privileged to have known her. And to this day, one of the strongest women I've ever come across, brilliant. And my heart and thoughts are out with you and your family, and I know our entire audience. Well, I've been getting messages. We appreciate everything. I know Defo appreciates it. So my love with you guys, and I'm really sorry. The legendary Betty DeForest was like no one this earth's ever known and will ever see again.
She was a trip, there's no doubt. But one of those great mothers, everybody needs somebody when they're having their foundation in sports being established. You need a ride here. You need somebody that will go out there and at least watch the kids, while they're out there playing. My mother was always that. Always that. I mean, she was that little league mom that didn't find a bunch of excuses, that was driving us everywhere we needed to go. And even though she knew nothing about sports, it was always terrific. Even a few times I remember her jogging me down to Shea Stadium when I missed the train.
Wow.
I was going to be late for work. She would just hop in the car on the fly and say, Whatever you need to do, son. Always there for me. Made some great sandwiches, too, when I was working as a kid there. So, a lot of great stuff. I mean, everybody, I'm sure, loves and has a great attachment to their mother. I was lucky to have her around for nearly 98 years, although I've only been her 70, but nearly made 98. That's a big number. Would you take that right now if it was blinking on the board? Of course you would.
Yes, I thought surely I'd take 90. Like 90, I'm like, believe me, I'll take 90.
90, yeah, I mean, I would take, the Greek has me at 74
I know.
And up.
I can't believe he's getting
such a low number,
Seth.
I've been feeling pretty good. I feel like I even look better than I do in that picture that I posted here, which wasn't that long ago. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 9:19.
I was out at Gulfstream on Saturday. I left before the Belmont because they usually put up like an hour. Before the race. Now, were you there when the Belmont Stakes was run there? Because you got there a little late with your lovely Shirley on your right arm. Very big smile on Luby's face as she was looking quite dashing this day. Very lovely, the young Shirley, who now has changed Mike Luby Lubitz's life.
She actually has, yeah.
She has, yeah. You're a different guy now. For the better. You know, it's never good to be too down. I've had this song going on in my head, and unfortunately, picked up the Mustang from the airport last night about 10 o'clock. I've been burning this CD, and this is a bad omen, isn't it, Luby? There's a song with Chris O'Leary that goes, I do not miss you, baby. Don't come home to me. That happens to be right there on that line as she jumps into the car.
The Defoe Show, featuring Luby. Here, welcome back to The Defoe Show.
Welcome back to the show. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz with you. 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeart Radio app. Tomorrow, the Gambling Gourmet joins us on an Even Keel Fish Shack Wednesday. And I believe there was a scheduled meeting, a little celebration. I think we'll hoist a few in my mom's memory at Even Keel tomorrow night. How about that, Luby?
Waiting to see what you wanted to do. If you're up to it, we were going to bring the wives. Well, you brought your wife last time, but the lovely Shirley was going to be in tow. I think Jersey may be on. We'll see. And I think we should make that night in honor of the legendary, the lovely Mrs. DeForest, if you're okay with that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm fine with that. Believe me. You know, my dad, his attitude was the same. And I'm going to take the same approach here. My dad passed away pretty soon after we started this thing. Yeah. No, Mike Luby.
About a year. I felt like I know your dad really well. And then when you tell me when he passed, I'm like, wow, then we got close really quick because I loved your dad. Your dad, I guess it's that he called every day because he called every day. Every day. And it was my favorite call. He would always be like, can you put me out with my son? I'm like, yes, sir.
Yes. Usually with a correction. He was my corrections department. Yeah. Well, and I said that this to Sid Rosenberg, who naturally was just crestfallen, crushed when his dad passed away. They were very close. And Sid had some things on social media, and he was saying he didn't know how he could continue without his dad, you know, who was his biggest fan. I said, well, that's exactly it. I mean, I still have my father in my head as he was very much in the vogue. He was a book editor by trade.
Yep.
And an editor and, of course, a writer. And he always is in my head whenever I say something that sounds really stupid or awkward. And I wish you would do more of this, too, during the course of your Luby's Law. I mean, the editor in your head should be screaming, no, that's not right. And so I do have my dad in my head most of the time here with, you know, just as the editorial counsel here on the program. And he was great. He used to call in and say, no, that wasn't from that show, DeForest. You've got that completely confused. His memory was sharper than mine.
It was on it, boy. It was so great.
I tell you what, though. Well, one thing about my mom, I mean, she was approaching 98, but until like about a week ago when, you know, some of these things became too overwhelming for her to overcome, these physical, it was a debilitating experience there that kind of came on very suddenly, in terms of being life-threatening. She was sharp as a tack, really was. I mean, that would be one way to go, right? It wasn't like she suffered from any dementia or Alzheimer's or anything like that. So if your mind is still functioning, that's definitely a good asset as you're approaching that big triple digit there, 100, almost made 98. So we'll celebrate that tomorrow night there. Even Keel Fish Shack, Mike Mayo going to be with us on the show tomorrow. And also, speaking of Mike's, wow, I can't wait to have Mike Donald on the show. That's one of my favorite sports stories. I know it's probably painful as a memory for Mike Donald. He lost to Hale Irwin, but he's had time to I would imagine, overcome that, and he's done very well for himself in his life. But, wow, what a difference that would have made in his golf career if he could have hung on and won that U.S. Open. Irwin, was that during regulation? I want to say that was in regulation that Irwin nailed like a 53-foot putt. Remember when he was running around the green? It's one of the great scenes in golf history. And I could never wear Sansevieria slacks after that. Not that I was inclined to wear them anyway. But I hated Hale Irwin after we beat my man Mike Donald. I had gotten to know Mike a little bit, and I was like, wow, the guy's going to win the U.S. freaking Open. Incredible. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I mean, this was tin cup all the way. It really was. You could see Cheech handing you a six iron as Donald was going ahead and playing an extra hole. It's 9:30. This comes from the great Defoe Lama. It's the bets you don't make, the chances you don't take, that can compromise an otherwise incredible life, my friend.
The only way to get your morning started is with Defoe, joined by Luby, right here on The Defoe Show.
Where do we go from here, now that all of the children are growing up? And how do we spend our lives if there's no one to lend us a hand?
I believe it was just last year we were at a press conference. I don't know. I don't think you made that one, Mike Luby-Lubitz. The one at Hard Rock Stadium when they had the college football playoff chairman or whoever the president is of the whole thing. And he was saying he didn't see any immediate changes being made to the format, that they liked the four-team thing and everything was great and couldn't be happier with the way that it was working out. And, of course, now it appears, and we'll verify this or get the thoughts of this gentleman who has been on the scene on college football forever, started this thing from scratch, College Football News. Now it's a monster. The publisher, the founder of College Football News, Peter Futak, joins us here on the show. Peter, how are you, my friend, first of all? Good to have you on the program.
Good morning. How are you guys? How you been?
Well, we're doing just fine. And you were our go-to guy when all of this started to pop up. And I thought, wow, what does Peter think about this? And I remember saying, and I forget the gentleman's name, the guy that was the head of the college football
Bill
playoff.
Hancock.
Hancock, yes, and he seemed like he was certain that nothing was going to change here for a while, that they were thrilled with everything and the arrangements couldn't be any better. Here we are. Does it not look like a certainty that this 12-team format is going to come about maybe as soon as next season?
Yeah, he does that. You know, he's the sweetheart of a guy, but he's also very good at the whole PR thing. And, you know, if you remember when the BCS era was around, it's like we couldn't have a playoff because – we have to keep the bowls in place because it helps the troops. It helps, you know, every economy. all sorts of, you know, things that they always kind of said. And then all of a sudden they kind of did and they changed it. And now it looks like, yeah, you know, there's a proposal on the table that doesn't seem crazy. No one seems to have a big giant issue with it. It's actually not bad. And now they're going to talk about it, I think, here in Chicago, maybe even today or sometime this week. And they're going to go over it, start talking about it, and maybe we get a change to the format.
You from the Obvious Only Studios. Like Devo said, we're talking with Peter Futak. He's great on Twitter, by the way. Follow him up, at Pete Futak. That's F-I-U-T-A-K. Pete, why 12, not 8? Because it seemed like a natural progression to me was 8, and then I'd hope they'd stay at 8 for a while. To me, once you go to 12, you're automatically saying you're just going to keep going, which is a lot of people's fears, which would totally ruin the regular season, it seems like. Why 12 and not 8?
Yeah, I'm not there on the slippery slope yet. I get what you're saying. The thing about 12 is that you got to give the top seed the cookie. You got to give them something. And, you know, the idea of, well, the one gets the 8, well, that's not really been good enough, because think about the college football playoff as we have it right now, where if you're the one seed, you know, it was Devo Sweeney who came out, and it was one year. He was like, yay, we're the one seed. We are the best team in college football. And as a reward, we get Alabama.
Exactly.
You know, so and being a 2 or a 3 means absolutely nothing in the current format. So it does give the format that they've set up, if it does go this way, you do get the top 4 seeds, top 4 conference champions, according to the rankings. Would get a week off, and then there's your reward for all that.
Peter Futak, College Football News with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. All right, who's going to be screaming about this? There's always that thought associated with any potential proposed change in the college football championship. Are we going to have the number 13 team now entitled to start screaming and jumping up and down and saying, we was robbed! We was robbed!
More like the number 12 team in most years, because it's the six top-ranked conference champions are almost always going to be, or are in, according to this, if this proposal goes through. So if this goes through, the number 12 team, more often than not, will probably get bounced because that sixth conference champion might not always be in the top 12. So you know that team would get in. So they'll be the one who's screaming. I'm guessing the coaches are going to kind of scream because you're now extending the season by a few more games. And the players' rights advocates are going to be screaming because you're going to have these guys play a few more extra games. And while we're really getting into the name, image, and likeness stuff, you still don't have compensation necessarily for these guys playing these extra games and making all this extra money. Other than that, there's no reason to be upset at all if you're anybody. Because if you're, say, you know, Notre Dame, and okay, you might not get that top four seed bye because you're not in a conference and you can't win a conference championship, but now you've just expanded your goal. Instead of having to get in the top four every year, you basically have to get in the top 11. If you're Alabama or Georgia or Wisconsin in a lot of years, or, you know, that second or third Big Ten team or fourth or fifth SEC team, now again, you're in if you get into the top 11, you know, really 12, but it's 11. And if you're a Group of Five program, you got a shot, because if you win your conference championship, there's automatically going to be one Group of Five conference champion that's going to be in this. And if, like last year, you know, last year was a bizarre year, it wouldn't have happened in a normal year, but last year, Coastal Carolina and Cincinnati would have been in the college football playoff.
Okay, so, and that's what I was going to ask you. So you may have answered it already, but that's my fear is, see, this is going to give them a chance. So the UCF, the Boise State, some of these other, the Coastal Carolinas, which I don't know if they'd win, but I'd like to see them get a chance, would get that chance. My fear was the fifth SEC team, the third Big Ten team, the fourth Big 12 team is the one that would get it. So the way this is set up, there's automatically going to be one, and it definitely helps out possibly a second Group of Five team to get into it.
Potentially, again, the top six conference champions are in.
Yeah.
So where this so the reason for that now becomes, if you are, say, you know, Alabama or Ohio State, and you might be ranked number two or three, and you're in the top four, but you're not a conference champion. Well, you're not in. You don't get that first round bye. It's just the conference champions that get the bye. But where this gets funky is what there's a couple of tweaks that they're going to have to make along the way, and one of them is the idea of reseeding. Because if you don't have a reseed, then the number one team gets the 8-9 winner no matter what. If this is like 2014, Boise State would have gotten in as the 20th ranked team because it was one of the high, it was the highest ranked number six conference champion. And if number 20 Boise State would have upset, say, Baylor, and, you know, number five Baylor in the first round, then the number four seed gets the number 20 team.
Nah.
You know, so so being number four is actually a potential sweet spot if, you know, the lowest ranked team pulls off an upset. So there's going to have to be that, but that's a first world problem here.
One of the things college football fans have been saying forever as one of the favorable aspects of the game with limited teams in the postseason with a chance to win the championship was the regular season was essentially a postseason elimination format. What does this do to the regular season, Peter Futak of College Football News, and how does it impact our favorite aspect of college football, which we finally call Cupcake Syndrome?
Yeah, I don't think it upsets the idea. It's still hard to get in. It's not like the NCAA basketball tournament, where as long as you're not impossibly bad, you get in. Being in the top 12 is hard. And again, it's going to really, in theory, in actually reality, be the top 11. So being there, it's not easy. You're still talking about 130 teams pushing for 11 spots. So that's not easy. So there is going to be a fight. If you can't get in that top 11 or 12, you really don't deserve to be in the college football playoff. So it is going to be part of the regular season. And I would actually think that it adds more to the mix. Because right now, you know, who are the favorites to get in the college football playoff? Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia. You know, like the same old teams are right there. But if last, you know, you're talking last year, you're going into the conference championship games, Northwestern has a shot to get in the college football playoff. Iowa State, who has never been, you know, never won a outright conference championship in its history, has a shot to get in the college football playoff. Coastal freaking Carolina would have been in the college football playoff. You know, Indiana would have been in the mix. So now what you're doing is, okay, so they would get, you know, rim-rocked by 50 probably in the first or second rounds. But, again, at least they're in. Now you've got a whole bunch of teams who are going to be really fired up to get in, to get in or to get close to that top 11 or 12 to get in.
Peter Futak, College Football News. One final thing, a quick thought. Has Nick spoken yet about this?
I would guess he's not happy about it, although, again, he should be happy because, you know, the thing about Alabama is if you think about their run, you could have made the argument that they were one of the top four teams in every year. But they didn't make it a couple times. They had the, you know, 2 years ago when they lost to Auburn. Well, they still would have had a chance because they still would have gotten in. And that's why, like, the biggest of the big boys, again, the coaches are going to say, well, the players, that's a lot of games and all that. But basically this means Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, they're going to be in every year because they're not going to be outside of the top 12. So if you're one of the big giant teams, now you know, okay, good. Pretty much we've pretty much put a safety net out there that we don't have to be absolutely perfect to at least get in the tournament. And it's going to change up how these teams play. Because if, you know, you're automatically, you know, you're not going to win the conference championship, well, maybe you know, change things up a little bit, rest some guys, and you change up how you do things just a little bit.
All right, Peter, outstanding as always. Should be very exciting. We'll see if that thing goes through, but it looks like it's going to be the case. College Football News. How can people get involved with all the great coverage you guys do?
It's collegefootballnews.com. We are rolling through all the team-by-team previews and keep doing that for another few weeks, and then we start to pivot to all the really fun stuff.
All right, sounds good. Peter, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Later, guys. Have a good one.
And be safe, Futak.
Peter Futak, College Football News. All right, we're going to come back and wrap things up in just a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby Lubitz on his fine Tuesday. Great to be with you. And thanks, you know, the sentiments pouring in on social media, my phone blowing up here. Thank you, Devin. Definitely very heartening, all of the great comments I'm getting from people here, the passing of my mom. What was a tough morning, and thank you so much for all of the support. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 9:49.
The great professional eater, Joey Chestnut, with us here on the show. Are you banned from buffets?
I think I've only been cut off at, like, a sushi restaurant. they had an all-you-can-eat buffet, and it was supposed to be, like, a two-hour. It was, like, 2 hours that you're supposed to get all-you-can-eat, and I know they cut me off after, like, an hour. It was like, no, you're
going home.
Everybody. Yeah. Yeah,
you
only
eat too much. Get out.
Welcome back to The Defo Show.
You love to see well-rounded individuals, the people that are going to be shaping the course of humanity and the world, and it's always a pleasure to see young people that are involved in so many great, great things. We welcome to the show a gentleman named Max Perlman, and this was an award that was originated by the Miami Herald, the Silver Knight Award, and it is given to people with high academic standards that also are making contributions in sports and also making a difference in their community. Max from Pinecrest High School, a Silver Knight recipient. Max, congratulations. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. Tell us a little bit about what the Silver Knight Award means to you, because obviously it is something that signifies great distinction and great achievement on many fronts.
It's such a huge honor to have received this award, and in the South Florida area, everyone kind of knows the Silver Knight Award. And I grew up seeing my sisters go to this award ceremony. And so to actually hear my name called was such a surreal feeling. And it really made the service I've done, it kind of put it all into perspective in that moment, that night right there.
Fantastic. And, of course, you're acing it at Pinecrest, which is no easy accomplishment there. I mean, they're not fooling around when it comes to academics. And then you're part of the crew team. You're the guy that's barking the signals, right? Basically the quarterback chair there as a coxswain.
Yeah, so I'm a coxswain. Our job is basically to be kind of a coach on the water. And we steer the boat, we run the drills, we make the calls, we keep everyone together. It's our job to come up with a race plan. And all the other guys in the boat are facing the opposite direction. So we're the only ones that can see forward. So the rowers have to put their absolute trust in us to make sure that we get where we need to go.
Do you ever just attempted to scream, faster, faster? How does that work?
Occasionally. It's really about getting to know the guys and what gets them to kind of click and get them to move and motivate them to move the fastest.
Great stuff. And your involvement in the community, obviously this was a big part of making the combination of qualities you had to have to be a Silver Knight recipient, much less even getting consideration. What are some of the things that you're involved with there, Max?
So one of the things that I started was a program called Lunchline. And in the United States, one in every five kids is food insecure, which is a crazy stat. And there's, I think, something a little less than 12% of people in the Florida area are food insecure. And so right in our own backyard, there's so many people that are going hungry. So I thought that there had to be something that can at least be done for this. So through raising money and helping out at Feeding South Florida, we were able to pay off the lunch debt at 21 public schools across Broward County.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Another program that I started was something called Crew Cares with my sisters and brother, and it was a way to show kind of that teamwork and that camaraderie that we learned from crew and putting that to use off the water as well. And so we helped raise diapers for hurricane relief, and we helped with the South Florida Toys for Tots toy rally, which raised thousands of dollars and raised hundreds of toys to give to children that really wouldn't have gifts for the holiday season. So those are just a couple of the programs.
Well, it's great to know the world is in good hands with people like you that are coming along to become world leaders, and fantastic stuff. Congratulations. Silver Knight Award recipient Max Perlman from Pinecrest High School on the crew team, and just acing it academically and doing wonderful things on your own, very innovative things in the community to help people out. Max, congratulations. Thanks for joining us here on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck and thanks,
all right,
Max.
Thanks a lot. That was heartening, Luby. Was
it
not?
It made me feel like I slacked a lot, actually, now. Not even in high school.
I don't even want to talk about where I was at when I was this young man's age. Oh, my God.
Like, wow, okay, I'm not even thinking about that stuff now, let alone when I was 17, 18.
This guy's fighting hunger, and I was fighting my way into Belmont Park, trying to steal somebody's racing form. Now, we're going to do it again tomorrow on Evil Keel Wednesday on tap tomorrow. Mike Mayo, the gambling gourmet, going to be among our guests. Mike Donald, who has one of the great golf stories involving the U.S. Open, real Kevin Costner tin cup type of stuff, just absolutely fantastic, was in one of the most thrilling finishes in U.S. Open history, and he was a good friend of mine back in the day. I used to see him around Gulfstream Park and the tracks, and we always had a great time with each other. Mike Donald with a terrific story tomorrow on the program. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for the very heartening and heartwarming messages regarding my mom. Appreciate all of that. It really was uplifting today. Helped me make it through the show. Thanks to you, Mike Luby Lubitz. We'll see everybody tomorrow at 6 as we leave you now that.
The time.
It's 10 a.m.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Look what they've done to my show.